We'll turn to the book of Judges, chapter number 6 and verse number 11. I want to talk to you tonight about being the miracle this Christmas. Judges, chapter number 6. As my preacher would say, we're going to read a section of Scripture and then depart therefrom. Judges, chapter number 6 and verse number 11. If you did not bring a Bible, there's one in the pew rack in front of you. Judges is the 6th book of the Bible. So it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, seventh. It's Joshua, then Judges. I'm sorry. Thank you, Brother Jim. Joshua, then Judges. It's the 7th book of the Bible. It's a time in Israel's history where there was no king in the land, and every man did that which was right in their own eyes. And we see a cyclical cycle of them being living in righteousness, that generation righteousness, and then that generation die off, and then the next generation come along and doesn't really care about righteousness. The third generation does whatever it wants and is right in their own eyes, and they get into sin, and God brings in someone to oppress them. In Judges chapter 6, we see the life and times of Gideon. And they are now, because of idolatry, because the idolatry of the previous generation or two to Gideon, you find that they are in under oppression by the Midianites. And in Judges chapter 6, verse 11, we pick up the story, and it says, "And there came an angel of the Lord." Now this is Judges 6, verse 11. "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." Now here's what the Midianites did. They were good at fighting, but they weren't good at animal husbandry or at farming. So what they would do is they'd wait till the Israelites did all the work, and then they would come in and steal all the food and the livestock. And the reason they were able to do this is all free, just introduction, they went in and they defeated the army and then disarmed the population. Haven't you ever heard of the gun laws? He who has the gun makes the law. This is a real world historical event where the population was disarmed. But because their government wasn't really organized, a different government, the Midianites, came in and took everything. And they would let the Israelites work all year, all summer. They would break up the ground. They would break up the clods. They would plant the grain. They would weed the grain. They would water it. They would take care of it. They'd put out fertilizer. They'd keep the buzzards and the crows and the varmints away and the bugs away. And then about the time everything gets ripe, they start to harvest it. And when everything gets pretty much harvested, the Midianites come in and basically take it all at the point of a sword, starving Israelis out. You'll see this happen time and time again through history when a people are disarmed. As we pick up the story, verse number 12, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Wait a minute. He's hiding behind a wine press. He's hiding and he's beating out the grain so he can eat it and feed his family, and he's hiding from the Midianites. The last thing he thinks of himself when he gets up in the morning is, "I'm a mighty man of valor." Verse number 12, "And the angel of the Lord," as it said, "mighty man of valor." Verse 13, "And Gideon said unto him, Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?" Well, we know, because it's of sin. Not everything that's bad in life that happens is because of sin. Do you understand me? Just because you're going through a health crisis does not necessarily translate directly into you are just a number 10 sinner above everybody else. No, we're all number 10 sinners. It's just life. We live in a cursed world. But if we sin, there are repercussions for that. That's true. And they're in this mess because of their sin of idolatry. That's been documented historically right here in Judges. Now look at it again. "Why has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." Where be all his miracles? I do love Christmas time. I said that on Sunday. I love it. I love the lights. I love the decorations. And quite honestly, it reminds me of Christ. It reminds me of the Christmas story. And ever since I got saved, truly born again, when I was 23 years old, Christmas took on a new meaning, a much more deeper and profound meaning for me as we focus our hearts and minds on Christ, the one that came because God loved me. Now, but for some people, I met with a couple families today that their mind is on the troubles of the Christmas season. They're alone or they're lonely. These two specific families have had a death recently in their family. And they that have survived, but somebody else didn't. Somebody lived on and the other person couldn't live on. You could tell they were trying to make it to Christmas and they didn't. And this Christmas season, a lot of times the people are going to say to themselves, where are all his miracles that we've heard of? And other people, they've got their mind on the terrors of the Christmas season. Long lines, extra traffic, school activities. And they're waiting for some poor fool to say the W word. Weather. Oh, snow. Snow. Oh my gosh, it might snow in Virginia like we've never seen snow before. But they do that. Somebody will say the S word and everybody will freak out. They're worried. What are we going to do? I had a man today who literally has been in our country 5 months. I was talking with him today and this is a different family. And I got to talk with him for a little bit. He's like, now, do you get snow here? And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Is it cold like this where you're from? He says, it never gets cold where I'm from. And I said, you got a coat? You need a coat. So I took him home and gave him a coat. I had it in the closet. Why? Because they never run me. I said, and he said the S word. I said, don't say that out loud. It freaks people out. What? We get snow here? We get snow here. And it usually around February. It happens. So some people have trouble on their mind or terror on their mind. And some people just have tensions on their mind. They're going to be with family. And families are messy. And when the family visits, sometimes old wounds open up. And they'll be fussing and they'll be fighting. And with all these things on people's minds, it's easy to lose track of the fact that of the miracle that Christmas is, the miracle that Christmas represents. And Gideon, in frustration, says, where be all his miracles which the fathers told us of? The burning bush, the 10 plagues, the splitting of the Red Sea, the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day, the manna in the morning, the quail in the evening, the water that came from the flint rock, the parting of the Jordan, the walls of Jericho, the sun halting in the sky. Where is all these miracles? Why are we in this mess? And you know, there's a lot of people today I think can relate to that. Where are the miracles the Father told us of? Jesus fed 5,000. He healed the blind, the lame, the dumb, the deaf, and the leper. He resurrected the widow's son and Lazarus. Where is all these miracles? That huge catch of fish, the coin in the fish's mouth, and the healing of the demon, the demoniac, the demon-possessed man in Gadara. Where are the miracles? Maybe that's how you feel today. I called somebody today on the phone. And the answer I got back was, I'm sorry, he's unavailable. Well, when will he be available? It's hard to tell. Not sure. Sometimes do you feel like that God is unavailable because of the troubles and the terrors and the tension that's going on in your life right now? And you say to yourself, where be all his miracles? Why is was God available? When's he going to be available? When can I talk? Can I get on his schedule? Can I just have 2 minutes of God's time, please? I remember calling a big name preacher one time, I'm good on the phone. I'm good at getting to people. That's what made me good as a salesman. I know how to get around certain personal assistants until you get to the personal assistant of the person. And I finally got to that person. I said, listen, ma'am, I swear, I just want 5 minutes. When can I get 5 minutes on the phone? And she says, how does October sound? What day? And I sure enough got 5 minutes with him on the phone. Let me ask you a question. Does it feel like that way with God sometimes? Where the prayers are not going through the drywall? You think I'll pray outside? That maybe it won't be obstructed. Where be all his miracles? Where are the ones that we've been told about time and time and time again? Maybe today you're having a crisis where you're struggling to make ends meet and you need food. Remember when in 1 Kings chapter number 17, it says of Elijah, it said that the barrel of meal wasted not, neither the cruse of oil. That was in 1 Kings chapter number 17, where Elijah was staying with the widow, and every time she went into the barrel, there was more food. Wouldn't it be great if every time you opened up the cupboard, there was more potatoes and beans? And every time you shut it, you know, you took some out and you shut it and opened up, and there they are again. Wouldn't that be just great every day that you went back into the cupboard and it just magically appeared? You know, I think our children think that dishes magically appear and find themselves in the dishwasher. If you put them in the sink, they somehow transmutate or something right into the dishwasher. They don't know how it happens, but they know to go in there and find the clean ones. You know what I'm saying? And you think it's magic. No, maybe today you need a miracle. Because you're struggling to make ends meet with food. Or maybe you're having a financial issue of some other way and you're having a hard time stretching through the end of the month. You think to yourself, wouldn't it be great if you could go down to the Potomac, throw in a hook, pull out a fish, and there was a gold coin? Wouldn't that be cool? Just like Peter. Wouldn't that be fabulous? What would you do next, Brother Jim? I'd go for another one. That's right. We'd stay. Two things that I love to do. I love to fish and I love to find money. Wouldn't that be great, buddy? Wouldn't that be great? Just keep going, buddy. Just keep going. And maybe you've got a health issue and you're thinking to yourself, where are all the miracles? Or today you're having a health issue. You're praying for a miracle. Jesus healed the lame and the blind. What about us? God had worked through ordinary people in the past. He really had. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about it. But in Hebrews chapter 11, you're going to find there's a whole lot of ordinary in Hebrews chapter number 11. There's Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Joshua and David and Matthew and Peter and John and Mark and Paul, Silas and Barnabas. Where is the miracles? Can he work through ordinary people like us? And the answer is yes, he can. God wants to do a work in us. So that God can do a work through us. God wants us to be the miracle this Christmas. That's what God wants. Take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter number 2 and verse 20. The Bible reads, look at it now, Galatians 2:20. Stay with me. You're going to need your hands free. We're going to look at a lot of scripture tonight. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. The Bible reads, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It's not me that's actually living this life. It's not my life to live. It's Christ who liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's God who wants to live through me. Yes, he wants to live with me, but he wants to live and live in me, but he wants to live through me. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, listen to what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 11. The Bible reads, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And to be quite honest with you, as God wants us to be the miracle this year, it may require some growth. It may require us changing those habits that we've had all these years. Paul talks about the miracle of God as a great change that happened in his personal life. Look at Galatians chapter number 1 and verse number 13. Because the truth is, people do remember you before you knew Jesus. Look at verse number 13. Of Galatians 1. It says, for we write none other things unto you. I'm in 2 Corinthians. That's a good book, but that's not the one. Here we go, verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. People remembered Paul way back when. And he said that the change that had happened to him was a miracle and a miracle of God in Acts chapter number 8 And verse 3, you could almost see that something had changed in Paul's value system. Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 3, the Bible reads, And Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Something had happened. He had gone from a persecutor to a preacher, to somebody who injured people, to somebody who encouraged people. And in Philippians chapter number 3, he puts out that pedigree of his, how that he had all there was to have in the Jews' religion. Listen to what he had in Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 4. You hear Paul explain his pedigree and all that he had. He said in Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 7, but the things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. God, Paul said, I know people are going to remember me when, but the change that has happened in me is nothing short of a miracle of God. In Galatians chapter number 1, Paul said that God's purpose was to reveal his son. That miracle that happened to him was so that God could reveal his son. Look at Galatians 1 and verse number 15. It says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, to reveal his son in me. That's Christ living in us. You know, you are the only Bible some people will read. And you are that ambassador 2 Corinthians 5:20 talks about. You're the one who is representing Christ to this world. And this year, as we look to the miracle of Christmas, Christ would like us to be the miracle by the change that he'll want to make in us. Galatians chapter number 1 and verse 16, the miracle is seen in that immediate change. To reveal his son in me, it says, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. He didn't wait. He didn't ease into church. He got saved. He got growing and he got busy. Because something, a miracle had happened in his heart. And in verse number 17, the way he changed was the way he acted. Verse number 18, then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with them 15 days. But other apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came to the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preached the faith which once he destroyed. The miracle Christmas is that God wants us to be that miracle. He wants people to see the change, to see him living through us. That change in us is the greatest witness of all. And Paul was saying, there must be a change. You know, it's funny. Paul not only changed his attitude and his values, he changed the way he lived. And in fact, he ended up changing his friends. Because in Acts chapter 9, the chapter where he got saved, listen to what it says in verse number 23 and verse 24. In Acts chapter number 9, it says in verse number 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Now, you're talking about people he ate with and people that he lived with and people that he'd studied with, people he'd worked with, people that he had done what he thought was the will of God. They wanted to kill him. Why? Because John 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds are evil. And in Galatians chapter number 1 and verse number 23 and 24, we see the proof of it. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed. They saw the proof of it. They saw the proof of the miracle of God in Paul. We think of a baby that came by birth of a virgin and laid in a manger. And the star that followed them from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and the star that led the wise men. We think of the miracles like that. The fact that God could appear to Joseph and Mary and convince them to do what he wanted them to do. The fact that he talked to the wise men and told them a message to give Joseph so they'd flee to Egypt. We think of the miracles of Christmas. But we've heard them so many times. What they need to see, what folks need to see this year is the miracle that is us. The fact that we've changed, that the Christ has met is real to us. And the best witness is a change in us. See, God wants to do that miracle in us so he can work through us. He wants to make a change in us so he can work through us. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." This is a conforming work. Romans 8:29 says that we were predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. He wants to work on the inside of us. He wants to do a miracle in us so that others will see that miracle and believe. We are the canvas God wishes to paint on. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 6. And it says, "And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." Now he goes on and talks about the manifestations of the Spirit and how they profit. But down here in verse number 11, it says, "But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills." The work of God starts on our heart and on the inside. And if we'll let him, that work of God will change everything about us. We are not only the canvas he wishes to paint on, we are the medium in which he wishes to sculpt. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 20. The Bible says, "Now the God of peace," look at that, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work." That means complete in every good work to do his will. "Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." We are the medium in which God wants to sculpt his miracle. He wants to work through us. It starts by allowing him to fill us, to be filled with his Spirit. In Ephesians 5 and verse 18, it says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." That means submitting every area of our life to him. That's what that means. And you think to yourself, am I full? Am I full? Have you submitted all the areas of your life to him today? Did you take time in your prayer time this morning and say, "Holy Spirit, is there an area of my life that you do not reign supreme in?" You're not filled until he has it all. He has everything. Because he has a purpose for our filling. And we cannot fulfill that purpose unless we are filled. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 20. God wants to do a work in us so that he can do a work through us. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 20. It says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Do you understand that in Ephesians 1 it says we are to be the praise of his glory? That everything about us that is submitted to Christ, filled with the Spirit, we are now fit for his use. We are fit for his hand. We are able for him to do the work in us so he can do the work through us. You'll find that in Ephesians 1, verse 10 through 14. So how does this miracle work happen? You've heard me talk about it before. How do you actually live it? How do you actually bring this to pass? I'm glad you asked. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter number 6. And you find a very interesting step-by-step on how to let God do the miracle work in you. See, the people you're going to be with this Christmas, they need to see it. They need to hear it. They need to experience it. It's on billboards, it's on TV, it's on the internet, they're getting spam emails. I get spam emails from all kinds of ministries that talk about the gospel of Christ and things. I'm sure that you do too. But that's not what your friends and family and your coworkers are going to be changed by. It's going to be changed by interaction with the Holy Spirit of God through you. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. This is the goal. We don't want to serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. First step is you got to realize you are free from the penalty of sin. There is nothing that's going to happen to you in this life that'll send you to hell. You have heaven as your eternal abode. Brother David White said something so profound in Sunday school. Do you remember, Brother David? I told you I was going to steal it. David said, we don't live for today. We live for what's coming. Do you remember that, Brother David? That's so awesome. We don't live for today. We live for what's coming. And the older we get, the more we got in what's coming, isn't it, Brother David? We got more waiting for us than we've ever had here. And do you understand that we are been separated from the penalty of sin? Look at verse number 8. Likewise, that means just like Christ, reckon. Do you see that? That's an accounting term. Reckon, add up the costs. Ye also yourselves to be dead, separated, indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We now have the choice to be free from the power of sin. We were delivered from the penalty of sin when we trusted Christ as our Savior. Now the miracle work that can happen in us is the fact that we can choose to be free from the power of sin. Look at verse number 12. Because we're separated from the power and penalty of sin, because we knew that, that's what the word therefore means. Look at it. Let not sin therefore. Because of what was just said, let not sin reign in your mortal body. You and I do have a choice. We do. We do have a choice. None of us are perfect. We're never going to be perfect till we get to heaven. But we do have a choice. Let not sin reign. That means be boss, to have the authority. That don't give sin, don't give the temptation to sin, don't get that flesh of ours the opportunity to choose for us. If you say to yourself, well, I don't have to worry about that. I'm never tempted. I don't have, then you don't go to 7-Eleven enough because it's just one temptation after another when you walk in the door. And I had to stop at a McDonald's today to take care of something, and I walked in the door and it just, and every pore in my body went, are you going to go to the counter? 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 Aren't you going to go to the counter? No, I'm going to the counter. Trust me, that miracle work can happen, but we've got to choose. Don't turn over control of your body, your flesh, to sin. Verse number 13, neither yield. That means to give authority to. That means to turn over control to, give right of way to. Look what it says. Neither yield ye your members. This is your fleshly body as instruments of unrighteousness of sin. I'm not going to let my body sin. I'm going to choose now. I decide what I put in my mouth. I decide what I inhale. I decide what I look at. I decide what I think about. God wants to do a miracle. Do you understand? The miracle of Christmas, yes, is Christ, but you and I need to be that miracle this year for somebody. We got to let Christ do the work in us. Let them see the miracle work of Jesus Christ in a living human being. Paul said it in Galatians. He said, I used to hate Christians. I did all this. And now they see me. My values are different. My friends are different. And my activity is different. And all they know is the guy who used to doesn't do that anymore. He does this. The guy who used to destroy the faith is now preaching the faith and cannot be confounded, cannot be shaken in his faith. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. So we don't yield to the temptation of sin, to the desires of sin, but we yield ourselves to what? To the leadings of the Holy Spirit. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, recognizing that it was God doing the work in us. Look at it. And your members, your body, your hands, your eyes, your mouth, your ears, your nose, every bit of you, your feet, as instruments of righteousness. Were your hands instruments of righteousness today? Was your voice an instrument of righteousness today? Did the things you do, did the things you say, did the places you go, was that an instrument of righteousness? Were you that example? Were you that miracle today? See, we're all faced with small opportunities to compromise. We are. Sometimes it's making statements instead of asking questions. Because making statements makes us feel good because it puts other people in their place. Maybe it's in not helping someone because, you know, we're just too important and our agenda and our schedule's just too tight to be that help to someone else. Did you yield your hands today as instruments of righteousness? Did you yield your mouth today as an instrument of righteousness? Were your feet and your arms instruments of righteousness today? The choice was ours. This is the deal. This is the miracle people need to see. Now look at it now here in verse number 14. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. See, the obedience parts is our choice. We can either choose to obey sin or we can choose to obey righteousness. Whether sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, the choice is ours. Look at verse number 17 of Romans 6. But God be thanked that ye were, past tense, the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed, present tense, from the heart that form of doctrine. You're doing it now. You have obeyed it. You've done it. Well, I suppose that's past tense too. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. We can be that miracle. We can. We can let the Holy Spirit of God do a work that you and I can't do on our own by doing something in us. Allowing him to do that. Verse number 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. This will not be a one-time battle. That's why he's used this language this way. This is not going to be a one-time battle where you just, oh, I won. I'll never face that again. No, the opportunities to compromise our integrity as a Christian is daily. Sometimes moment by moment, hour by hour, we can compromise. In the things, and the scary ones, let me tell you something, the scary compromises are the ones where you believe no one will ever know. That's the scary ones. But somebody always does. You know, it would shock you. I thought I was doing pretty good one day. I was working as a consultant at State Farm, and I brought on Randy Neighbors. Randy Neighbors was a man I led to Christ after his grandpa died. I was able to give him the gospel, and he got saved. And Randy and I went to State Farm. We were driving back and forth one day to a conference, and I said to Randy, because he started coming to our church a little bit off and on, and I said, Randy, has there ever been a time when my testimony just, you know, I didn't live up to my testimony? And boy, he's like, yeah. And he laid it out there. And I'm like, and it blew me away because I thought that I had been living in integrity, and he had never said a word of it. But it was something that he saw. And I'll tell you right now, you don't realize that they're watching. And I realize that everybody who decorates for Christmas is not thinking about Jesus. I realize that. There's people buying lights and balls and garland and stockings, and they're buying gifts and they're wrapping them and they're putting them under the tree, and they're doing all these great, wonderful things for their family. And I know that doesn't naturally mean they're thinking just of Jesus. But those things alone aren't enough to be a witness to them. It's us God is calling upon to be that witness. God wants to do a miracle in you so he can do a miracle through you. He wants to do a work in you first so that you're fit for the master's use. You're ready and able for him to do a work through you. But the choice is ours. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. You're going to go through this daily. For as ye have yielded your members as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. My wife had a conversation with a lady several years ago. And she were talking about how that men have, you know, are visual, and men have struggles with lust and things of that nature. And the one lady said to my wife, she says, well, why is it nobody ever makes a pass at me? And my wife wrote, because you wrote unavailable on your forehead. Everywhere you go, everybody you talk to, the word unavailable is obvious as the nose on your face. You are not available. You don't give people that sign. You don't give the people that air that you're looking or you're trolling or for you're wanting. You're needing a self-esteem boost by letting somebody flirt with you. That's why it doesn't happen. Is there unavailable written on the forehead in everybody in here today? I am not available. By the way you interacted with the opposite sex today at work, did it say unavailable? By the things you typed on your email, did it say unavailable? The text you had to answer as part of your job today, did it say unavailable? You see what I mean? The miracle of Christmas needs to be the miracle in us that everybody sees. They need to experience that miracle through you and I. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 20, but now we can have different fruit, being made free from sin and become servants to God. Ye have fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Everlasting life. Listen, you and I have that choice this year. Not just in sharing the gospel, but in living the gospel. In letting the gospel live through us. That's what Paul did. The one who used to blaspheme and curse, the one who used to destroy the faith, is now preaching the faith. The one that used to run with the crowd that hated God and thought they were serving God but didn't realize they were actually persecuting God, is now serving the one and true God. Something has changed. That's the miracle of Christmas. That's the miracle God wants us to be. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. We have to decide that we want it to happen. We have to let God work by humbling our pride and letting him work. We have to let God work by embracing his will and dying to self and saying, no, I'm going to do his will. I'm not going to compromise my integrity. I'm going to do that which is righteous. My members will be the members of righteousness today. Our Father and our God, we love you. And to me, it's just an earth-shattering miracle that you would love a sinner like me. I ask God today that you would speak to every heart and every soul. Father, that you would do the work in us, that miracle work in us, that people would see there is a difference. Please, oh God, speak to every heart and soul in here tonight. Let us answer the question, where be all his miracles? Let us be the one that they see and experience today in Jesus' name. Amen. As she plays and sings, the altar's open. Won't you ask God to reveal to you an area that he does not got control over? Of course, most of us know what that area is. But if you're not sure, why don't you ask God? But like I said, that's typically not the problem. Won't you come and by faith give that area to God tonight in prayer? Just by faith. Say, my hands are unavailable for unrighteousness. My feet are unavailable for unrighteousness. My eyes, my mouth, my ears, they're unavailable for unrighteousness. Won't you be the miracle? Will you be that miracle this year that people can see and experience? Will you be the one, the person that's real? Our Father and our God, we love you, and I am thankful for the testimony of the Apostle Paul. I thank you, God, for the change that you've made in his life. I thank you, Father, that change is ours to have as well. I'm thankful that you've not given up. And God, that there's yet a work to do in this day and this age, in our life and in our time. We ask, God, you'd make that happen. Do the work. It's time for you to work, God, so that they experience you. They realize it's you. And we'll praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way.